Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I think the majority of this show today, folks, we're going to be discussing the future of both AEW and WWE and where we see them heading in the coming year. That should be a very interesting conversation, as well as we'll be talking a little bit about this week's SmackDown and some other tidbits of things we have in the news. First and foremost, I guess, is that we have a lot of people respond to our take on this CM Punk Young Bucks thing, and I'll tell you, it's all over the place, folks. It's all over the place. There are people who only blame CM Punk. There are people who only blame the Bucks. There are people who still insist CM Punk was only trying to drum up some interest in possible future feuds or storylines. Even CM Punk's camp supposedly has come out and said a lot of what he was saying was meant to be sort of stirring up interest in the product, blurring the lines between fantasy and reality. I'm gonna tell you why this is bullshit, quite frankly. Supposedly CM Punk said, "Do I have carte blanche to say whatever I want so I can really go out there and stir things up?" And according to what I'm being told, Tony Khan said, yes, you have carte blanche to do that. Well, let me explain something to you. CM Punk is a veteran. If you are going to say something extraordinarily derogatory about someone in order to drum up business, you talk to that person first. Didn't Sammy Guevara find that out when he called Eddie Kingston fat and Eddie Kingston took serious offense to it and took a swing at him? Never would have happened if Sammy Guevara went back there and said, is it okay if I do that? Was it okay if I do that? Then Eddie Kingston would either said, yeah, you know, I know you don't mean it, so go ahead and say it, or he would have said, no, I'm sensitive about that. I don't want you to mention it. But this is a cop-out, and that's exactly what this is, and that's all this is a cop-out. This is CM Punk saying, if I have carte blanche to say anything under the guise of it's only a promo, then I can say how I really feel, and when someone confronts me, I can say, you're the guy who's out of line because I was only promo. He's full of it, folks. He's full of it. And the guy's proven what he is. As far as I'm concerned, he's a coward, and I'll tell you why I say he's a coward. Because you don't tell someone, if you got a problem with me, you come knock on my door and we'll discuss it. And then when somebody knocks on your door, it says, go away. You'd be the first person to say, come on in, sit down. I'll tell you exactly what I told everybody out there to your face. And then we'll sort it out if we have to. No, that's not what CM Punk did. I'm not excusing what the Young Bucks did. At all. Young Bucks are executive vice presidents. They have to be held to a higher standard. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that CM Punk had carte blanche to say what he wanted from Tony Khan and all of this was just in character, he's lying. And he's lying because he wants the ability, CM Punk wants the ability to say how he really feels about someone with there being no repercussions. So say I'm working with a guy in a wrestling federation. And I know he's been in jail for domestic violence, and he uses drugs recreationally, and, you know, he's messing around with on his wife with a bunch of groupies. And I say to the owner of the Federation, do I have carte blanche to say anything I want to work up some business? Yes, you do. And I go out there and say, you know, folks, you think this guy's a big hero. Huh? Well, let me tell you something. He's been in jail for beating on his wife because he's a friggin' wife beater. He's backstage doing drugs. And he's screwing anything that moves. That's what he is. Who wants to work with a piece of garbage like that who beats his wife, does drugs, and screws anything that moves? And then when the guy gets mad at me and says, oh, the freak you think you're doing, oh, I had carte blanche to say anything I wanted, and if you get mad about that, that's your problem because I'm only working. This was just a shoot promo. That's bullshit. And that's what a coward does. Can I say anything I want about him and claim I'm only working? So that when they get mad, I can say that they're the ones in the wrong for taking it the wrong way? That's what CM Punk did. And now he's trying to revert it and say, I don't know why they're so mad. I'm just, yeah, because you were going to work with Matt and Nick Jackson, right? They were going to go for your title. You were going to be working with MJF. If you said horrible things about MJF, if you went out in that promo and said, MJF belongs in the WWE, not a very good wrestler. He's crap backstage. All he tries to do is copy what I've already done on the microphone. And for some reason, he thinks he's God's gift to AEW, when in fact, really, he's a poison in AEW. I would have said, CM Punk is working. You went off on Colt Cabana. You going to have a big match with Colt Cabana, are you? No. You went off on Matt and Nick Jackson. You going to have big matches with them? No. So you're a liar. And worse than a liar, you're a coward. Because instead of saying, I meant every word I said, now you're trying to say, I was just cutting a promo. And they took it all the wrong way. That's bull. That is absolutely, that's worse than what you did. Now you've made it worse. I didn't think CM Punk could make it worse. But now he's made it worse. I don't understand this, Mike. I don't understand why some people are giving CM Punk a pass. I mean, he's the one, if someone says to you, hey, Mike, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. Hey, Mike, if you got a problem with what I'm saying about you and your family and your friends, why don't you just come knock on my door? Hey, Mike, what are you, a coward? How come you won't come face me, Mike? Hey, Mike. And then when you do, say, well, they're out of control. Those guys actually came knocking on my door looking for me. Well, of course you would. I've goaded you into it and goaded you into it and goaded you into it to the point where if you don't go, then you look like a coward. So that's CM Punk's whole modus operandi here, trying to make other people look like they're afraid of him, and then if they're not afraid of him, saying, you took it all the wrong way because I'm just cutting a promo.
Absolutely. And think about it this way. These people got to think about it this way. You know, we've seen him. When a snake bites you, right, when a cobra or a rattlesnake or whatever bites you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to try to get the poison out of you, right? Try to get the venom out of you, right? And
absolutely.
You suck it out or whatever as soon as you can, you know? So this is when he signed CM Punk, we said this. And I was thinking it for a long time. When Tony Khan seems he's injecting poison. He's allowing by signing CM Punk, he's allowing CM Punk to inject poison into that locker room, you know. And that's exactly what CM Punk did. Frankly, he's been doing that for a while. He did it. I didn't follow him when he was in ROH or whatever, but he maybe did it in ROH. I know for sure he did it in WWE. I mean, think about it. The guy took when him and AJ Lee got together, he injected the poison into AJ Lee. Now, Granted, yeah. AJ Lee was just starting to have some injury problems, but he injected the poison into AJ Lee, and look at what happened to her. You know?
I agree with you, Mike. Listen, you can't, at some point, even if you are an executive vice president, and once again, I'm not excusing what the Bucks did, but let me explain something. CM Punk's camp said the following. Matt and Nick Jackson kicked down our door. We told them to go away, and they kicked down the door, stormed in violently, and started swinging. Had that been the truth, I would have said, okay, well, that is horrible. Horrible conduct for executive vice presidents. You can't have that. And I still say the first thing the Bucks should have done was corner Tony Khan and say, get Punk in a meeting room with us immediately. We are executive vice presidents of this federation, and we demand a meeting. And if he refuses, then you're going to have to do something about it, because he's not going to talk to us like that and in front of all the media and the television executives and get away with it. They didn't do that. That is their fault. But at some point, if someone keeps calling you out, at some point you're going to have to respond to that being called out. And now we find out they didn't kick down the door. The door is still intact. They knocked on the door. And when Punk told them to go away, the door, which was not locked, they just opened it and stormed in, uninvited. The equivalent of being told, no, I don't want to talk to you, and tough, you are talking to us. Now we find out that CM Punk was the guy who threw the first punch. It changes things, folks. Not excusing the Young Bucks. I don't even like the Young Bucks. They should be stripped of their executive vice president role immediately because they obviously aren't mature enough to be able to handle it. But they are not the seasoned veteran CM Punk is. And for CM Punk to now retroactively say, I was only kidding. I was just cutting a promo. They can't handle it. I was given carte blanche to say what I wanted, and Tony Khan knew I was going to say controversial things, but we knew it was just to drum up business. That is a cop-out of the highest order. You don't get that personal with someone unless you check with them first. Period. Wrestling etiquette is, if you're going to say more than common stuff, like you're a lousy wrestler, or I could beat you easy, or you're afraid of me, or whatever, you check with them. You don't go to somebody and say, oh, I'm going to say your ex-wife left you because you were drunk, unless you check with them and say, do you mind me bringing that up to try to further this feud? And if the answer is, no, I don't want that brought up, then you don't bring it up. I told you the story about New Jack, who said he was going out to kill Brian Pillman. He told me this personally. All right, I was driving him to Deer Park, Long Island, and New Jack said, had it not been for Paul Heyman and a couple people in the dressing room, I was going out there to literally kill him that night, Brian Pillman, for using the N-word, which Brian Pillman didn't really do. He said it with the A word, the A at the end, and he said it in like the NWA, the not the Wrestling Federation, the rap group. He said it that way, with attitudes. That's what he said. But New Jack said, it's still absolutely unprofessional of him to use that word, and I knew he meant me, and I was going out there to kill him. And I asked him, what happens if he went to you and said, hey, Jack, it's okay if I say this? He said, I probably would have said yes. If he explained it to me, I'm really talking about, you know, like alluding like you're like one of the rappers in the NWA group and stuff, you know, type things. I probably would have said, well, if we're going to have a match together, we're going to get some heat together. Maybe, yeah, you know, I might do that. He said, but you know what? It would have depended on my mood. And if I said no, I would have expected him to honor that. And if I said yes, I wouldn't have been mad at him. But the idea behind it is he would have come and asked me, which means he had some respect for me. CM Punk doesn't have respect for anyone, including Tony Khan. Who, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to make any allegations I cannot back up. But I'm watching Tony Khan's eyes, and I'm asking myself, does he, at any stage, does he have to pass a drug test? Because I've never seen anybody's eyes bug out of their head like that when they're sober. He has a real weird sort of a, maybe that's just a genetic thing, I don't know. But, man, he looks like he's tweaking sometimes. But regardless of whether he's straight as an arrow, he disrespected Tony Khan. Totally disrespected him. Right to his face. And now Tony Khan's saying, no, because I said he could say anything. Oh, okay, so if he turns around and says, then this idiot wouldn't know enough to manage a bodega in a ghost town. If it wasn't for his daddy's money, he'd probably be selling drugs on the street. Is that okay? Is that okay, Tony? Or would you have been mad? These are the things you got to ask yourself, Tom. These are the things that they have to answer about.
Oh, for sure, Marcus. We've known each other a long time, and we've been wrestling fans practically since I was born. So for CM Punk to backtrack and say, I was only working, that's bullshit on a turd salad, okay? You can't fool me. I don't believe it. And you know who's losing out when it comes down to brass tacks? The fans. What you're doing is you're dividing the fans who think it was real and a shoot, and then you're only kidding. So now if you really go and fight them in the ring and actually have a match, it's not going to be – some people are going to buy it and some people are not. And that's what's really – what it really comes down to is if you're building something to get heat, to sell a match, fine. But this was 100% shoot, and he knows it. Tony Khan knows it. I could see by the look on Tony Khan's face, I watched it over and over again, that was not approved. It was not. I could tell by his.
Of course it wasn't. And now if you want to tell me that, oh, well, we're doing a storyline in which CM Punk is saying, I want the Young Bucks stripped of their executive vice president role because they're incapable of running this federation. And he's going to say because they're heels and they're this and they've done these bad things, I would say, okay, well, I guess then that's what they were shooting for. There's no such storyline. If there was that kind of a storyline, the Bucks wouldn't be knocking on the door. The Bucks would have been saying, he did a good job, man, of putting us over. You see, if you do things the right way, if the Bucks are going to be the heels in this feud, which they would be, then CM Punk talking bad about them only puts them over, which means that the Bucks would have been like, yeah, you go, man. Fans really going to hate us now. You wouldn't be knocking on their door saying, how dare you talk to me like that. He's lying, okay? He's flat-out lying, and anybody who knows anything about the wrestling business knows he's lying. It's called damage control because he doesn't want to lose his $5 million a year. That's right, $5 million a year job. $5 million a year, is he? Prove it. There were 63,000 people at that pay-per-view, way under what they said they were going to sell. Their ratings haven't been above a million, except once or twice after they signed them. How is he worth $5 million a year? And in typical CM Punk fashion, he wrestles for a month or two, gets hurt, stays out 3 months, wrestles for two or three matches, I'm hurt again, stays out 3 months. So his yearly contract of $5 million turns out to be about six matches. So he's making $1 million a match. Yeah, that's really worth it. That's really worth it. Now on the Bucks end, once again, I know you were called out. I know your feelings were hurt. I know they questioned your manhood. Come find me if you want, if you got any problem with what I'm saying. That's basically calling you out. That's basically calling you out. And if you were not executive vice president of this company, I wouldn't blame you at all. I'd say I damn sure would have done the same thing. What do you think would happen if CM Punk was in a dressing room way back in the old days and said, yeah, Harley Race is a fat slob and he ain't no tough guy and all he does is booze and this, that, and the other thing. He's got a bad temper and he looks about as much like an athlete as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And if he doesn't like it, why don't you just come find me? CM Punk, you'd be planting flowers on his grave. But he knows in this era you'll get away with it. And the Bucks, I guess, said, well, I'm not going to let him get away with it. And if you were anything less than the executive vice president, I would say you were within your rights. But you're not. You are the executive vice president. And the very first person you should have went to, CM Punk's locker room, it's Tony Khan's office, and said, if CM Punk leaves this building without all of us sitting down and having a meeting, there's going to be issues, major issues. And then Tony Khan, if he was any sort of an owner, would have said, we're going to straighten this out. I know this didn't go as planned. I know this was a shit show. I'm going into CM Punk's dressing room now. You think Punk would have told him to get lost? I'm going into CM Punk's dressing room and telling him I expect you in my office. And we're going to sort this out. That's what a real owner does. Now I'm going to tell you something else that might shock you. Tony Khan should have done this on his own without the Punk, without the Bucks coming to him. Tony Khan should have said, I'm going to be, excuse myself from this press conference. We're going to bring in the other guys or whatever to answer questions. And he should have went right to Punk's dressing room and said, in my office immediately, I'm calling the Bucks down here. If Omega's around, I'm calling him down here. And we're going to sort this out because what happened out there was unprofessional, uncalled for, and I don't like it. And we're going to get ourselves on the same page here before anybody leaves. And if you decide that you're too important to attend this meeting, consider yourself fired. That's it. That's what a real owner does. Instead, Tony Khan said, heck, I have to stay here in front of the cameras so that I can answer any other questions somebody might have about how cool I am. Please. That's what a real owner does, Todd. Unfortunately, Tony Khan has not presented himself as a real owner.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the thing with CM Punk and the Young Bucks. Was it a couple of, I remember a couple of years ago when Simon Gotch got in a backstage brawl with somebody and he got released for it. I forgot who he got in a brawl with, a legit brawl. I don't remember what the other guy's name was. Same thing, sort of.
It was Enzo, right?
I think so.
I believe that's right. It was Enzo. And he still had bad things to say about Enzo, but after he left the Federation. I told the story, but I'll tell it again for the people who might not have listened to the last show. Booker T said, I got into an all-out brawl with Batista. And it wasn't some, you know, we were kind of fooling around and got carried away. Or, oh, it was just some dumb thing about, like, a misunderstanding. No, he said, this was serious. I seriously don't like him, and he seriously does not like me. End of conversation. And I was not going to allow him to think he could talk to me the way he talked to me. So we threw down. And I guess other wrestlers had to break it up and, you know, whatever, and maybe went, they had to go talk it out, hash it out in Vince McMahon's office. But Booker T said, 1 second after that confrontation, if Vince McMahon had said to me, you guys are working tonight, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Because that's my job. And I would go out there, and I would be a professional, and I would protect him just like I hope he would protect me, and then we can hate each other when we get back to the dressing room, but that has nothing to do with my job. Well, that's precisely what CM Punk does not have to approve of who the executive vice president of a company is. Please explain to me why an employee has to give the thumbs up to who Tony Khan decides gets to be the executive vice president. Please explain that to me. Do you get to do that at your job? When somebody is, oh, we're making this guy assistant manager, do you then get to go on into a meeting with corporate and say, this guy's a druggie and he's on his mother's bank account and he doesn't even have his car insurance in his name and I seen him doing that? You don't get to do that. You'd be fired on the spot. Insubordination. You might voice your concern and say, I think to your coworkers and say, I think that's a lousy choice. But you don't have to say, well, you've got to run that by me. I'm the person who gets to decide. I was employee of the month this month, and I get to decide who the assistant manager should be. You do not. CM Punk has zero, repeat, zero right. If Tony Khan wanted to appoint a squirrel as executive vice president, CM Punk has no right to say anything. You're taking the $5 million, ain't you? Shut up and work. At least that's the way I feel about it, Mike.
Yeah, sure, and that's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Cody in the WWE at the same time as CM Punk on their both of their first runs? Wasn't both of them?
I think so. Yeah.
So it was widely speculated why Cody left AEW, and it was they gave the reason of he got his booking privileges taken away and all that stuff, and his writing privileges, and he wasn't getting what he wanted. But I seem to think that he saw the writing on the wall, and that was just the booking and stuff was just an excuse. His main thing was he saw the writing on the wall with CM Punk, and being that he and CM Punk were there when WWE, and he knew what CM Punk was capable of in a bad way, that he saw the writing on the wall and he got the hell out of there, you know?
Well, you know, Mike, you make a good point, but not only that, but there were rumors flying around that Cody Rhodes had sort of ended his friendship with the Bucks, meaning he probably didn't get along with them either. But you see, what does Cody Rhodes do? Cody Rhodes had a real right as someone who founded AEW to go in front of a camera and say, look, myself, the Bucks, a few other people for this idea. Yes, Tony Khan fronted a lot of the money. But now the Young Bucks are terrible executive vice presidents. They're ruining the damn company. Tony Khan doesn't know what he's doing. And I feel like, you know, this is not my vision. He never did that. Never one time did that. All he said was, you know, I've decided to go my separate ways. Because he's not CM Punk. Now, I know that him and the Bucks, kind of their friendship sort of gone from what I hear. So he had to know that the Bucks weren't doing a good job, or he had to disagree with some things that was happening in the higher-ups. But he was one of them, too. And he stepped down from that position. Totally. CM Punk could have done that. I would have had some respect for CM Punk, Tom, if he went to that press conference and said, look, I won the title. I'm going to tell you right now, the executive vice presidents of this company, they lied about me to the media. They're spreading false rumors to try to ruin my reputation. They don't know what the hell they're doing here. Tony Khan here, he has the right to hire whoever the hell he wants to hire. But unfortunately, Tony, you hired people who are bad news, don't know what they're doing, totally inept, and you're not going to be able to keep wrestlers with their kind of behavior. So with that in mind, I'm advocating the title. I'm out of here. Then I would have said, well, Punk said what he had to say, and he put his money where his mouth is. No. What is he doing now, Tom? Now he's saying, well, I was just working. I was just shooting a promo. Yeah, but it's bullshit.
He's doing it for doing it to save his meal ticket. And it is, and you're absolutely right. It's damage control. They backed themselves into a corner because of it. And you know, look, we did a gimmick with us that was based on a very real injury. How many times did we address the real injury and really make fun of it? To be honest with you, it was a very real injury. It wasn't part of the show, and we knew that deep down, one, we were really working. But if I had a problem with you saying these things about a very real injury, you would have not addressed it. We would have thought of another way. That was to build a match. This was not to build a match. It's to shoot your mouth off because you're CM Punk and you're a household name. I got news. CM Punk might be a household name, but to quote Jim Cornette, so is garbage. And it's flat out garbage, and it's unprofessional. And if you did that at a regular job, you'd be tossed out on your ass.
Absolutely. See, this is the problem that people don't understand. Do I think that the Young Bucks are good executive vice presidents, or they have some kind of knowledge that makes them good choices for executive vice presidents? No, it's a figurehead. It's called, you guys came up with the idea, you needed a money mark. So the money mark comes in, and because he's supplying all the money, you can't really say anything against them. So you say, well, we want to be executive vice presidents because it's kind of our federation. We thought of all this, and we're going to be the main driving forces. So we want to be appointed something high in the company. So Tony Khan, the moron, says, okay, I'll make you executive vice president, even though you have a zero experience, a zero knowledge in doing it. I'll still give you that title. This is what happens. CM Punk is not wrong about what he said. I'm not saying he was wrong about what he said. Everything he said at that press conference could have been, I don't know for sure, but everything he said at that press conference is either his opinion or a fact, except for, I don't know, if Colt Cabana shares a bank account with his mom, and I don't know if he paid Colt Cabana's bills. I don't know that. But I assume he's not lying. I assume he has some proof of that. As far as whether the Bucks are good executive vice presidents and all that, that's his opinion. And he's entitled to his opinion. My problem is when he did it. You've just won the championship. You're staring down the barrel of a huge match with MJF. And every bit of your attention should have been on MJF. If you wanted to call him every name in the book, if you wanted to accuse him of being a traitor who's going to take the belt and run to the WWE, if you wanted to accuse him of being in contact with WWE while he's working for AEW, if you wanted to accuse him of whatever, I would have said, well, they're trying to work a good game here. But that's not what you did. You went after Colt Cabana, who's not even in your federation. He's in Ring of Honor. You're not having a match with him. Then you went after the Dirt Sheet writers because they listened to the Young Bucks. Well, what do you expect them to do? See, that's another thing. I guess we're Dirt Sheet Radio but here's the problem. All of you wrestlers, turn up the volume on this show. Stop calling it Dirt Sheets, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if I go to a wrestler who tells me, I heard the company is going to change hands and that we're going to be sold to this or whatever, and I report that, that's my source. That's my source. If that source ends up being full of shit or wrong, it's not my fault for reporting it. If the news says, there's an armed man taking hostages at a McDonald's on such and such, and then it turns out, it was a Burger King, that doesn't make you dirt news. It means your source got it wrong. What other source are we supposed to have? What other source are we supposed to have? Okay, we could we check with the owner of the company? Yeah, because he's going to tell us. Yes, I'm selling. So if the Young Bucks go to the dirt sheets and say, you know, CM Punk came in here. He's causing trouble in the locker room. They made him move Colt Cabana because he didn't want to be in the same dressing room as Colt Cabana. That's a damn good source. And there's not a journalist in this world who wouldn't run with that source. Not one. So when he blames these dirt sheet writers, Mike, what is it that you expect them to report when they're being told this right out of the horse's mouth?
Absolutely. I'll put it to you another way. We've gotten on the WWE for a long time about the piss poor writing and booking and stuff like that, right? And then at one point you said at one point you had a source in the that was basically in the writing room that said it's not the writer's fault. Mostly, it's people ahead of them, and that the morale in the writer's room is down in the dumpster. Well, what are we supposed to do when you say that, Marcus? When you say your store says this, and we can see by what they're writing, by what they're putting on TV, that it's probably the case that your source is correct, right? At the time, right? So, are we gonna call you dirt sheet because you had that source that said that, and we could see that what they were putting on TV was crap, and that everything was leading nowhere, and all this stuff, and what are we supposed to think of your source, you know?
Well, I'll give you a better example. New Jack said to me, "Well, you know, Brian Pillman never cleared this with me." And if someone then had said, well, and I reported that, and someone said, that's not true. Brian Pillman cleared it with Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman was supposed to clear it with New Jack. Well, how am I supposed to know? New Jack himself tells me nobody told me. So I report nobody told New Jack. And then you're picking well, technically, Brian Pillman told Paul, and Paul neglected to tell Jack. Well, whatever. Where are we supposed to get our sources then? If you're telling me the people in the very industry we're reporting are lying to us, then I guess we are going to be putting out information that's not true, because obviously we trust the people in the industry not to lie. There is no other source. What source do you want us to go to? Colt Cabana says that's what happened. The Young Bucks say that's what happened. CM Punk wants you to go to him, and he says, I don't care if 7,000 people say that's what happened. I, the almighty CM Punk, says it does not. So unless you report that they are liars and I am the most honest man to ever walk the face of the earth, you're a dirt sheet writer. Yeah, well, you're a thief. Because all you've done for the past, I don't know how many years in the wrestling business, is steal people's money, give about a month's worth of work for a year's salary, trouble backstage. That's what you do. And that's all that you do. It's pathetic. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do as wrestling reporters, Tom, if the very people who are in this business aren't good enough to be considered sources.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, as journalists, you're supposed to write, you know, report what you're told and be trustworthy of the people that are telling you the news. And yes, sometimes it can be embellished, a la Dave Meltzer, but for the most part, that's your job. What else are you supposed to report? You just make it up?
The problem. If somebody made it up, if I came on the show and said, well, look, I have a source that doesn't exist, but I'm pretending he does, who said that CM Punk is actually trying to get fired because he wants to work in Japan and they've offered him more money, then I made it up. I just made it up. And that would be a dirt sheet. But if I go to the executive vice president of the goddamn company that you work for, and the executive vice president say that's 100% correct, where else do you want me to go? How's it my fault? That's the thing that gets me, Todd. What the hell? What other source are you supposed to have if the damn executive vice presidents of the company aren't a good enough source?
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about this whole thing with dirt sheets and everything. We report the facts, what's going on, not other BS.
At least we attempt to report what people tell us are the facts. And the people that are telling us the facts aren't some dude living in his mom's basement saying, I heard on the interwebs that this thing was going to – we don't do that. We don't do that. If I tell you something, it came from a halfway decent source. And sometimes I'll even preface it and say, look, this source has been right and he's been wrong. So take it for what it's worth. I don't tell you this is gospel. If I know it's gospel, then I tell you I know for a fact that this is happening. But that's not good enough. Apparently, everyone that has ever written an article about wrestling has to check with CM Punk to see if it's okay to publish that. It's just beyond. I don't know what to tell you. But this is going to lead into the second portion of this program, and that is, what is the future for AEW at this point? Now, people are saying, well, the Bucks are suspended for, I believe, 6 months or 8 months. Suspended. Your executive vice presidents are suspended. I believe Kenny Omega is also suspended for the same amount of time. I would imagine that Ace Steel guy is suspended for the same amount of time. And now I'm hearing there's an internal investigation which could involve authorities, and that MJF is going to be a witness because he was there, and their head of talent relations is going to be involved in it. This is a clusterfuck. And then CM Punk has been suspended. Well, it's not suspension if he's hurt. It's not a suspension if he's hurt. So in other words, if you just happen to have the perfect timing and you get hurt at the same time as you say something horrible that's going to suspend you, get you suspended, it's really not a suspension because as soon as you're healthy, you can come back to wrestling. And by the way, we'll pay you. That's not a suspension. CM Punk is not suspended. CM Punk is out on injured list. What should happen is, when he is ready to come back, he should serve a 6 months or 8 months suspension. They won't do that because they're paying him too much money. What should happen right now is they should say, you are suspended for the entire time that you are out without pay. Without pay. Then you're suspended. Because if you're injured, they still pay you. That's why CM Punk's injured so much. I don't feel like wrestling. My foot hurt. I did this. I did that. I got a headache. Remember in the WWE, they're forcing me to work when I'm medically unable to work. And then the WWE's doctor said, look, we've examined him 9 ways to Sunday. He's clear to wrestle. My doctors say I'm not. That's the equivalent of saying my dog ate my homework or I have a letter from my friend saying that I'm sick and can't come to school today. That's not good enough. CM Punk can find a doctor to say anything. Right now I could, and I'm not even a rich man, and I'm not a famous man, and I got news for you. I could go to enough doctors to have somebody write me a prescription for whatever the hell I want. Or say that I'm disabled, or say that I'm this, or say that I'm that. It's very easy, and it's really, really easy if you're famous, you got a lot of money. You think they were handing over steroids to Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit because they were medically in need of them? Or do you think these doctors were taking payola? So CM Punk finds a doctor who's willing to say, my patient cannot work. I don't care what the WWE's doctors say. And CM Punk can sit home in his easy chair and collect his money. It's absolute bullshit, Mike.
That is bullshit, and let's work at it let's work at it in another from the other end of the scale. I mean, there were doctors that were saying that Paige could work, you know, and then, well, the WWE said, no, we don't want to take a chance. So that's the other end of the scale. When the wrestler wants to work and the company says no, which basically is the company protecting itself, I guess. But, you know, you get what I'm saying, right?
I do. It's ludicrous. Listen, we all said there's not one of us on this show that was fooled by the CM Punk thing. Every one of us said, this is a mistake. You're going to get a temporary ratings boost, maybe a little longer than temporary ratings boost. But the price you're going to pay for this is going to be vast. And now what has come back to haunt them, Tom? Same thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's just really, you know, it's gotten out of hand. We predicted that if you let the inmates run the asylum, that this federation is going to crumble. And that's exactly what they did. You don't have the right people in, you don't have the right people in charge. You might have a money mark, but that money mark should have stayed behind the scenes. Being a part of it, like Eric Bischoff made himself, it's a mistake. It was a huge mistake, and we knew way before it got this far out of hand that it was a mistake. And now it's coming to light, and we could be the ones that say, told you so. That's exactly what's happening. I don't think, honestly, sir, that there is a way to really bounce back for this. I don't. You could say Chris Jericho and Bryan Danielson and, you know, all these guys that are, you know, that are veterans that are keeping the locker room together and saying all the right things. That's great. But I think it's too little too late. I think that AEW is going to be the victim of its own, be the victim of its own ego. And it's sad because there's a lot of fans of AEW, but I think the fans are starting to get sick of it too. And really,
we do have a problem here. And what the main problem is this: when AEW started, it was a group of friends who said, we want to form a federation where we bring in the best of the guys we know, the guys we know will really work, the guys we know we can get along with, the guys we know, you know, we can count on, but we don't have the money. And when they got Tony Khan behind it, Tony Khan went along for this for a little while, but then he said, we need names. And he started bringing in people that the friends probably said, I'm not a big fan, I don't like him too much, oh well. And then it got to the point where this snowballed out of control, Todd, and now we see what's happening.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this reminds me back in 2000, in the late 1999, with Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff were in charge, especially Vince Russo. That's when WCW went to the crapper. It reminds me of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of that, too. At some point, Mike, you got to stop being like, you know, again, the Young Bucks wanted a club. Oh, the AEW is a club for all of our friends to hang out and do what we want. And then it became, oh, we're letting outsiders in the club.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, okay, I get that, you know, probably guys like Sting went, you know, because they were on TBS and all that stuff, and TNT and all that stuff. I get that, all right? That's where Sting started. I get that, okay? But, you know, we've been right about this whole CM Punk thing from the beginning. This is, he's poison, and I don't understand why. I guess I get it, but I don't understand why Tony Khan couldn't see that this guy is poison.
I think Tony Khan knew it to some extent. But Tony Khan is one of those people who said he was poison to Vince McMahon, who was rude and obnoxious and over-controlling and wanted to stifle his creativity and wouldn't let him do the things he's capable of. I will be his best friend. I will let him do all these things. Well, now you see what happens, Tony. So he comes to you and says, can I say anything I want? And say, absolutely. I'm not going to stifle you like that evil Vince McMahon. And then you ruin your whole goddamn federation because the son of a bitch goes out there in front of all the TV executives and blows your freaking federation up right underneath your nose. That's what happens, Mike, when they don't have strong leadership at the top.
That's exactly what happens. And that's the thing. They didn't have it at the top. I mean, our problems with Paul Heyman was that he was a good wrestling guy, but he wasn't a good businessman. All right. It's the opposite with Tony Khan. He's somewhat of a good businessman, but he's not a wrestling guy. He may be a fan, but he's not a wrestling guy. You know, he's not a right. Paul Heyman. He's not, a Pat Patterson or Vince McMahon or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he's not even, what's his name, that's starting, Freddie Prinze, that's starting his own company now. He's not even Freddie Prinze, you know.
No, and here's what you got to realize. Let's say we all get together and pool our money and say we're starting an independent wrestling federation, and we've actually got a pending TV deal, and the TV executives are going to be there. And we hire a guy, a name, that we're all like, oh, look who we got in our federation. We were able to acquire this guy. And he says, hey, can I go out there and say whatever I want? And we're like, oh, yes, of course you can. Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. And then he comes out there and says, oh, these freaking chuckleheads don't know anything about wrestling, and this whole federation's going to suck, and I don't even know why I signed. The only reason I signed is because they paid me the amount of money I wanted to, and ain't nobody else here worth a damn. You've destroyed my business. So no matter how much I'm in awe of you, no matter how much I'm a fan of yours, my job as owner of a federation is to say, no, you're not going out there and say anything you want. I'm paying you. You're going out there and you may have carte blanche to riff a little. I may not write down every word you have to say, but I am going to control what you say. You're not going to come out there and start dropping F-bombs. You're not going to go out there and start throwing around N-words because you think it's okay because I said you can say anything you want. That's not the way it works. And if you don't do that, then I'm sorry. You're not a qualified leader. Because CM Punk's going to come back and say, did Tony Khan not say I could say whatever I wanted? Then why am I suspended? I did exactly what the boss said. Because the boss is an idiot. And he didn't think you were ever going to throw everybody under the bus. Didn't mean you could go out there and start airing your own dirty laundry. He didn't think you were going to do that. But that's why you have to have some rules. That's why you have to say, listen, you can say anything you want to say to an extent that it remains impersonal, person you're going to say something about and they've okayed it, and that it doesn't have any adverse effect or make this company in any way, shape, or form look bad. Is it okay for him to come out there and say, hey, guess what? I know one of the guys backstage smokes crack. You want me to tell you who it is? Can he say that? You don't get carte blanche to say anything you want. Have the attitude of, you pay me, I'll do exactly what I want, when I want, say what I want, work with who I want, decide the results that's going to happen with who I want, and if you don't like that, you can go pound salt and pay me my money anyway. I don't know anybody who has that deal. And I don't know why CM Punk thinks he's earned it. Where are the ratings? This is the thing. I got a newsflash for all you CM Punk fans. He's not a patch on the ass of Hulk Hogan. And I'll tell you why he's not. Is he technically better in the ring? Maybe. Is he technically better on the microphone? Probably. Is he the draw Hulk Hogan was? Hell no. Is he is his merchandise more successful than Hogan? Hell no. Did Steve Austin go out there and say a whole bunch of horrible things? Did he, even when he was feuding with Vince McMahon, he said bad things about Vince McMahon, but he didn't say, oh, the whole damn company's terrible, and Stephanie's sleeping with all the wrestlers. I heard she slept with Randy Savage, and Vince is backstage screwing everything that moves, Linda. He's not saying that. Because he understood, I can say what I want as long as it pertains to the feuds I'm having. I don't get to air my dirty laundry. And backstage, they wanted me to do this, and I said no. You don't do stuff like that. And to have Tony Khan sitting right there next to him, Tom, while he's doing it, that made it even worse to me, because that means you have no respect for the person who's signing your paycheck.
Exactly. I mean, let's call a spade here, my friend. There's no ratings on AEW. CM Punk didn't boost ratings when he came in. He didn't. And Tony Khan's an idiot for thinking that his ratings would go through the roof by signing CM Punk. When you sign somebody that walks out of the WWE, okay, how bad did the WWE really treat CM Punk? He was champion for a year. He had 15-minute segments on Raw. I mean, come on the flagship show, and he was champion for a year. How bad did they really treat him? I got news for you. Let's say, okay, if his doctor says that he's not cleared to wrestle, but WWE doctors say he is, well, you know, Shawn Michaels went to his own doctor, and his doctor says your injury is ending, your knee injury ended your wrestling career. You'll never wrestle again. 6 months later, he went to Dr. James Andrews, the best sports doctor in the world, and says your knee doesn't even need to be operated on. And 6 months later, he's back in the ring. So, come on. I think that CM Punk takes the money regardless of what kind of production he's bringing in and what ratings he's bringing in, and they just give it to him because everybody knows CM Punk. They're going to have a show in Chicago. People are going to show up. I got news for you. That show that they had did not sell as many tickets as they projected. The ratings haven't gone up a bit. The ratings haven't gone up a bit. Maybe once from what I heard. But yeah, honestly, he's a cancer. They should have never signed him. If you sign him for an appearance deal. This is the ultimate warrior syndrome. That's what he has. He doesn't care about wrestling. He doesn't care about the fans. He doesn't care about the industry or the work that goes into it. He cares about the almighty.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And it's to the point where it's even worse than the ultimate warrior, because the warrior never claimed to be the best wrestler in the world. He just said, look, I'm a draw. I don't care about being a great wrestler. CM Punk's claiming I'm the greatest wrestler, but baloney. So where do they go from here? Well, AEW's in trouble, folks. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, that's being overblown. No, it's not being overblown. You have lost two of your executive vice presidents. You've lost Kenny Omega. You've lost CM Punk. You may lose others because they're having an internal investigation, and they're saying if anybody else is involved in any way, even to the point of knowing what was going to happen, such as the Bucks said, I'm going down there, and you didn't report it, or somebody else said to CM Punk, here they come, they're coming in, whatever, you're going to be suspended. There could be criminal charges filed at least against CM Punk and Ace Steel, because CM Punk threw the first punch, which apparently hit Mac Jackson. That's called assault. Hitting somebody with a chair is worse. That's assault with a deadly weapon. You could potentially, with a steel chair, kill someone if you hit them in the head, in the face. We don't know where this is going to land, but this is a huge black eye, no pun intended, for this company. And Tony Khan, who's getting rave reviews from fans who apparently are just, AEW could do anything, that's fine, did exactly the wrong thing on the show. Rather than to come out and tell the truth, he came out and said, well, the following people are suspended, so the titles are going to be No, he should have came out and said, first and foremost, AEW wants to apologize for the actions, the unprofessional actions of several of our performers after the pay-per-view. All of their actions were absolutely unacceptable and absolutely uncalled for. And we want to apologize to our television station. We want to apologize to the members of the press that were there. We want to apologize to the fans. We take this federation very seriously, and we take professionalism very seriously, and we will not condone this type of behavior, whether it is from someone who works occasionally in this company or the very top star. And the proof, folks, is in the pudding, because I'm suspending CM Punk for his actions. I'm suspending my executive vice presidents, as well as other people, for their actions. And we can assure you that in the future, nothing like this will take place again. That's not what he did. It's not what he did at all. He just glossed over it like, oh, well, that's good enough. It's not good enough. And now I'm hearing, well, there's lines drawn in the dressing room because CM Punk has his supporters. I'm hearing not as many as people think, though. I heard, 50-50. But now I have better sources who tell me it's not close to 50-50. It's like 80-20 in favor of the Bucks. There are some people who are CM Punk supporters who are saying, oh, well, you know, Punk didn't do anything that bad and the Bucks are idiots. But most of them are siding with the Bucks. But how's that going to make the dressing room feel? I thought you're all going to be kumbaya, let's hold each other's hands and sing around the campfire, and we don't even need a writer because everyone is just so willing to do whatever to help this company. Yeah. Bobby Fish leaves the company and says what a scumbag CM Punk is. He says, I had a match with CM Punk, which I was told you were going to lay down for Phil Brooks. It's my job to lay down for Phil Brooks. So I said, that's fine. I'll lay down for Phil Brooks. During the course of the match, there was a mistake which was his fault, and he's a total C-word about it in the locker room. And I can't do anything about it because he's CM Punk and I'm Bobby Fish. But now that I'm out of AEW, he wants to have a fight, fine, because he's not a martial artist. He thinks he is, but he's not. According to Fish, he says, I've studied martial arts my whole life. I will tap him out in no time. This is a guy who's in his 40s, both him and CM Punk, who is so upset with CM Punk, he actually wants to challenge him to a fight outside of wrestling where there's no money involved. Either that makes him one of the most immature people in the world, or CM Punk made him very, very, very angry. Either way, you can't have a divided dressing room like this, Mike. It's poison, and it just festers and grows with every passing day.
And the fact of the matter is, if you look at what they seem to have had big plans for Red Dragon, you know. And now that Fish is not there anymore, well, there you go. I mean, Red Dragon and Adam Cole, I mean, look, we know a lot of these guys, you know, that aren't being used correctly, aren't being used enough, or relegated to dark, but that should not be relegated to dark, but are relegated to dark, aren't happy. And we know that a lot of these guys have a good relationship, but he better watch out. Yeah, he's made the deal with what's his name that he can't go work for the WWE anytime soon. But that's not gonna fly with some of these other guys that aren't happy with him. And this whole situation is not going to make a lot of, and particularly guys like, let's say, Sting, who's a consummate pro, but who probably in his later career does not want to have anything to do with, you know, with this type of stuff, you know. I mean, yeah, he's doing well with Darby Allin, but the backstage politics and crap that he saw happen in WCW, at the time, and later on in WWE with Triple H. But the backstage politics, Sting doesn't want to have anything to do with that, and that's probably pissing Sting off something fierce now, you know?
You would think. You would think it would be. See, here's the thing. You've got some professionals on there, real professionals, who pride themselves on, look, I have been long-term professional in this business. I've always conducted myself in a certain way. I've always lived by these rules. I've always done this. I've always done that. They don't like this. Because then their name's associated with, oh, you belong to that unprofessional company where the inmates are running the asylum and everybody's fighting everybody backstage and everybody's pissy and everybody's a Karen and everything else. And nobody likes that. Nobody likes that, Tom. So then the atmosphere is bad.
Yeah, the morale in the locker room of AEW has to be down to the lowest point. You got some veterans that I'm sure that are sick of things that have been going on the last few months since they, or however long since CM Punk has been there. And this is just, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg. I'm pretty sure that this is not the first time CM Punk has acted up since he's been there. It's just the first time that it's been broadcasted and public knowledge. So for you know, these guys that are, you know, veterans that left WWE for greener pastures, I think they're starting to see the writing on the wall. Like guys like Sting and you know, the Big Show and Mark Henry. These guys are just, you know, even probably Jim Ross, to be honest with you, is, you know, probably going to say, you know what, I think I've had my fill of this. I think I'm done here. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. And as soon as that does, I think it's going to, you know, you'll see AEW close up shop, and you'll see wrestlers on the market doing independence, and maybe some come to the WWE.
Well, see, that's the thing. We had speculated that when Cody Rhodes left, this was opening a door, and he was being treated well, but this was opening a door. Now, let's get on to the WWE, though, and some of their future. Absolutely correct that Cody Rhodes leaving opened a door. Everyone who said, oh, you're going to go back and they're going to have you in a Stardust outfit in a month, took a hard look and said, hey, wait a minute. He's being featured. He's going over on Seth Rollins. He's looking like a hero. He's a main eventer over there. They're really seriously pushing Cody Rhodes. And Cody has a lot of friends, because I'll tell you one thing about Cody Rhodes, having met him a couple of times. I don't think he's disingenuous like the Bucks are. I think Cody Rhodes is legit. I think Cody Rhodes really does care about the fans, because I've watched him offer their opinion. What do you really think about this? What's your opinion of this? I think he does care. And his bloodline, obviously, is pretty deep. And I think a lot of his friends are saying, you know, if Cody says the grass is green over here and it's way better than it was, then AEW has a problem. However, now we have to rely on something else, don't we? Is Triple H going to be professional? Cody Rhodes trashed him hard, to the point where he actually made an entrance where he destroyed the throne with a sledgehammer, basically saying, we're destroying your baby. NXT is being destroyed by AEW, and they constantly teased him. Triple H is in charge now. Triple H could turn the tables on Cody in a heartbeat. Now, if Triple H is smart and does what is best for business, no pun intended, he won't do that. But, Mike, I don't know if he can resist. That's my problem. I don't know if he can resist doing that. And if he does, then a lot of these AEW guys are going to say, ah, see what ends up happening.
Right. And think about this. Now, maybe Stephanie can temper him in this thing, you know, and say, look, it's not going to be best for business. If, you know, if you do this, you know, because, you know, we all know what their relationship is. We all know that he tends to listen to her. We all know that, you know, so maybe Stephanie's the key to this thing, you know.
That's a very good point. That's a very valid point. If Stephanie McMahon can calm her husband down. Now, again, you're talking about a different Triple H to a certain extent. Triple H went through a near-death experience. And if you've listened to some of his interviews afterwards, he said, all I thought about was I might be dying. And there could be a totally different vibe there, Todd, because, I mean, that's a life-changing experience.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing with Triple H is having that that almost experience, and it changes your life and everything. And maybe something will happen.
See, that's my thought, is maybe, just maybe, Mike, this has changed Triple H a little bit, and he's not as aggressive as maybe he would have been.
Right, and I mean, look, we've talked about this. You know, we've talked about certain people in AEW that would benefit in being in WWE. You know, Britt Baker. Of course, Britt Baker's husband or boyfriend or fiance or whatever you want to call it, Adam Cole. I mean, I would assume that Adam Cole still has a relatively good relationship with Triple H, you know. Bobby Fish,
yeah.
Adam Cole, Bobby Fish's current ex-partner, you know, all these people that were there. Keith Lee and Swerve Scott. I mean, I could go down a list of people that were let go by the WWE that, hell, even what's his name, Samoa Joe, who the Triple H said, I didn't even know he was let go. You know?
Right.
So think about it.
Yeah, look, this could be way different than I'm thinking. The old Triple H, I would have said we could have trouble here. Cody's going to get punished for some of the shit he did. I don't know if that's a fact anymore. And I think even if Triple H had the tendency to do it, he might realize, look, that would turn a lot of people off that could potentially come back. And I don't know if they want to sign any more people. Chris Jericho recently said, I think maybe in all the years I've been here in AEW, maybe we made one mistake. Chris, you got to be kidding. You oversigned people that you had absolutely no use for. You ended up trying to start a war with WWE instead of concentrating on your own product and saying it doesn't matter what WWE does, we're not WWE. You allowed people the inmates to run the asylum to the point where people like the Young Bucks think they can say anything they want to say and CM Punk can do anything he wants to do. You've made numerous mistakes, not the least of which is you have an owner who wants to be everybody's friend and not their boss. So that's not true. WWE's made their share of mistakes as well. But since Triple H has taken over, there is definitely a tendency that we're seeing to be a lot more upfront. And we're getting back to the wrestling that WWE used to present to a large extent, and fans are digging it. We're talking about SmackDown did 2.2 million, over 2.2 million. That is pretty damn close to 2.5 times what the top AEW show ever did. Now you could say, well, Fox reaches more people. Okay, but USA doesn't, and they still did almost 2 million on Raw. They're doubling you. They're doubling you. That's like a baseball team saying, well, we scored 4 runs. Yeah, but the opponent scored 8. And then you saying, oh, you know, we're pretty close to winning the game. No, That's not close. You're being doubled. You're being doubled up. And you got to do something to change it. And now you've lost some of your top stars. These weren't guys that were floating around the dressing room. You had your trios champion. They're gone, all three of them. Your heavyweight champion, gone. These weren't a couple of guys backstage fighting. Okay, this wasn't, some guy in the Dark Order got into a fight with some guy, is sitting in catering most of the time. No, these are your top guys. These are the guys that represent your company. And you had to suspend them. This does not bode well for you. I've said before, and I will say it again, what Tony Khan needs to do is he needs to remove himself from the situation. Tony Khan needs to say, I am 100% the backer, the money man. I'm not the president of this company. I am appointing someone with serious wrestling experience, and they have carte blanche from me to fire who they need to fire, suspend who they need to suspend, put the leash on whoever they need to put the leash on, crack the whip on whoever they need to crack the whip on. I'm just going to be the money guy. I'm going to do the business backstage. I'm going to be the guy filing the paperwork. I'm going to be the guy managing the bills. And that person, in my opinion, should be William Regal, Mike.
Either William Regal or Jim Ross, because Jim Ross, both of them have worked for Vince McMahon and know what to do, and Jim Ross has worked for WCW at the time, and what's his name with UWF in the Mid South, who was a very stickler for running a tight ship as well, you know, back in the old Federation days, you know, the old territory days, you know. And so, you know, Jim Ross, that should be your hierarchy, you know. Jim Ross, William Regal, Jim Ross, and maybe Taz, maybe somebody like that. Or William Regal and Jim Ross should be your hierarchy as your CEO and COO, you know, because they know how things should be run.
I think so. I mean, this is the thing. They're not going to be friends. It's one thing to say I'm not saying you can't be friends. I'm saying you can't have starry eyes. You can't say, oh, my God, CM Punk is here. I've been such a big fan of him. He's just wonderful. Oh, my God, here comes Cesaro. I've loved him. You can't have that. William Regal wouldn't be that guy. William Regal would be the guy that says, I respect what you do. I like what you do. I like your work. And as long as you're professional here and you conduct yourself in a proper manner, then we not only are we not going to have any problems, we're going to be friends. But if push comes to shove, don't try to take advantage of me just because I say I like your work, because you're gone in a heartbeat if you screw up. Type of guy you need. That's who Vince McMahon was. That's who Vince McMahon was. Now, did Vince get a little heavy-handed? Maybe. But you see, we've got excesses on both ends. We've got Vince McMahon, who maybe went too far, and Tony Khan, who's not even close to doing anything. He's on the other extreme. Can't have that, Tom. You have to have, to a certain extent, someone who every worker there knows, if I screw up, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, the proper message needs to be sent. It might be too little too late for AEW, because they had that opportunity to send the message, and they didn't do it. They just wanted to be the kumbaya, everybody's friends. We're going to sit around the campfire, and we're not even going to have writers and blah, blah, blah. Look at them now. Do you know Vince McMahon, even in WCW, the guy that was the money man for WCW did not get himself involved on television. That was the right thing to do, was to not
right.
Get yourself in it. You had a figurehead. You had Eric Bischoff. Even before then, you had Bill Watts. Now, Bill Watts wasn't well-liked, but he was a no-nonsense guy. Don't believe me? Ask Jim Ross. Ask Ron Simmons. Ask Sting. you know, the fact of the matter is that when you had the – when you appoint a guy – when you're the money man of a federation and you appoint somebody as the figurehead, the president, the you know, the guy in charge, the right thing to do is to make sure that guy has balls and make sure that that guy does not become friendly with the top stars and let the top stars have carte blanche and crap all over the guys that are going to be the future of the business. It's exactly what happened.
No, you're absolutely right. And listen, that's where AEW's future is going to lie. Right now, AEW is deciding what their future is going to be. If you want to play hardball, Tony Khan has to say, I've become too close to a lot of the people here to adequately police this. I'm going to give this over to a wrestling guy who's knows what he's doing. On top of that, we are going to cut our roster a little bit, go with the guys that we're going with. We're not going to give one damn what the WWE does. We're offering an alternative product. McDonald's doesn't care what Pizza Hut does. It's both food. Both food. But they're not worried about it. Appoint somebody to be the president of AEW. As carte blanche, do what they need to do. Cut your roster a little bit. Don't worry about what the WWE is doing. And for the love of God, start promoting some people who are actually going to be what you think is lifers in this federation and not 46-year-old men, which means as much as I love Jericho, you got to start phasing them out now. You want them to be a manager. You want them to broadcast booth. You want them to go back to the WWE, whatever it is. It's time to start bringing up these guys that most fans consider AEW guys. Let me give you a little brief example. Merchandising, I always say, is very important. Well, I got news for you. When AEW first put out their line of figures, action figures, you couldn't find them. Oh, you'd find the blank pegs where it says AEW action figures, and there'd be nobody left. Not the women wrestlers, not the minor people, no one. Collectors came in and bought them by the hordes. Everyone else was coming in and buying them by the hordes. They were going on eBay for big money. Wave 2 came out. They all went for big, you know, gone within days. You put them out. Hell, I know people who work at Targets and Walmarts. They said, we put them out. The next day, they were gone. And there's WWE figures still sitting there. There's Finn Balor still sitting there, 18 of them. I went into a Walmart yesterday. There's not one WWE figure. There was one lone. I lie. There was one lone figure sitting there. And I believe it was a Bianca Belair. And there's a whole wall of AEW figures. It looks like they're untouched. Not one missing from the peg. The worm is turning. And they've got to right the ship. And while Kenny Omega's worried about how he looks in a video game, and if you've seen it, he looks like the Incredible Hulk. Your federation is sinking. How about you worry about your product in the ring before you go crazy worrying about, we're going to put out a video game and a line of action figures. Calm down. Calm down. I know merchandising is big, but get yourself established first before you go nutso. Now, what the WWE has got to worry about is not the AEW. They, honest to God, are not competition. If every time you play the ball club, you got double the amount of runs they got, do you really consider them competition? No. AEW is not competition. They're not taking any business away from WWE. But what WWE does have to worry about, company, into NXT, because NXT did not beat AEW. Now, I think Triple H knows that. But here's a little problem from SmackDown this week. I don't think I've ever heard Sheamus get a better reaction than this. Sheamus' match with Gunther put him over to the point where I don't think he's ever been this popular. Gunther, on the other hand, Fans can't wait to see him get beat. So it's good. You've got a good thing going there. What happens? Sheamus gets tagged into the match. You go to commercial break. Here's Sheamus and Gunther finally going to commercial break. Who planned that? The people at home want to see it. And second thing, and this is going to be very unpopular with a lot of you, Gunther is not as good a wrestler as Sheamus, and I'll tell you why. He does not know how to sell. His idea of selling is, well, I fell down or I stumbled backwards. He never looks like he's hurt. He never looks like he's in trouble. Even when you're supposed to make the hot tag and the big, you know, okay, everybody gets their ass kicked. He's like, no, not me. At some point, you got to say to him, look, you are going to sell. This is Sheamus. And you are going to sell. And if you don't know how to sell, if you have no facial expression mannerism of selling, then you better learn it because Sheamus sure has it. And he's sure doing it for you. And I have a newsflash. If Sheamus stays this popular, to hell with protecting Gunther. He's already got a victory over Sheamus. If Sheamus stays this popular, you might want to give him one more run at that championship. Doesn't mean he can't get it back. Doesn't mean Gunther can't take it back. Now, I'm not usually a big fan of, you know, you got to build a guy and build a guy and build a guy, and you're really building Gunther. But if you catch lightning in a bottle, like you are with Sheamus, you might want to think about that. Because I don't think I've heard a crowd roar like that, especially for Sheamus, Mike, in a long time.
Right, and not only that, but you're threatening. Sheamus's popularity is threatening to take the other two guys with him. I mean, think about it. If that happens, I mean, yeah, against Imperium, yeah, it works out because Imperium is so well hated, so full of themselves, so this, so that, you know. But will it work out against other teams? Will it work out? I mean, it's working out. Like I say, I love Pete Dunne to death, and I don't like the fact that they made him look like his Pete Dunne instead of his Pete. They went back with Pete Dunne, the Pete Dunne look instead of the Butch look, right? I don't like that. I'd rather the Butch look, but that's neither here nor there. Like I said, they're threatening this popularity that Sheamus has. Is threatening to take the other two guys with him.
Yeah, and here's something else that was bad about that. Now, I love the match, and if you remember, Mike, I wrote to you during it and said they got something good with this feud. You could continue this feud, this six-man feud, even though you probably don't want to because Gunther's a champion. If you really wanted to, at least you could do Ridge Holland and Butch against Imperium. But I still think the right move there was for Gunther to pin Ridge Holland. Have Butch distracted outside, Sheamus distracted outside, those guys fighting outside, and then Gunther gets in and overwhelms Ridge Holland. Because then the fans can say, well, yeah, Gunther, yeah, overwhelmed Ridge Holland. I don't think those other two guys could do it. And also they could say, well, yeah, okay, Gunther overwhelmed Ridge Holland. He's not going to do that to Sheamus the next time they fight. That way you've built anticipation. Instead, you let Imperium actually win. And almost solve the problem of who's better, Butch and Ridge or Imperium. I think you should have left that as a mystery, Tom, so that we got another match at it.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is it. I messaged you. I said, I am going to tune into SmackDown specifically for Imperium because they caught my attention. That was a brutal war they went through, a Clash at the Castle, and I was chomping at the bit the whole week long. Like, man, I can't wait to see what they do. The first thing I actually stood up and screamed at my television when they went to commercial break and when Sheamus got the hot tag. I stood up and screamed, like, what in the blue hell is wrong with you people in the production truck? Number one. And number two, why give Imperium like it looked like the easy win? I don't understand. You could drag this out so long if you just exactly what you just said. It took the words right out of my mouth. If you it made it look like Imperium just overwhelmed Ridge Holland to the point where he just finally crumble, then you could still drag this on. Now it doesn't. It just looks like Imperium's dominant, and there's no way that the Brawling Brutes are going to beat them again, or beat them at all. And I think they did the wrong thing.
I think you're right, Tom. I mean, you're trying to promote I know you're trying to promote Imperium as a tag team too, but basically the big guy in the thing is Gunther. So why not let Gunther beat one of the guys who you're mostly promoting as a tag team? And, that way it would look like, yeah, well, see what Gunther did. He tried to stay away from Sheamus as much as possible, and he ended up picking the bones of one of the lesser guys and not Sheamus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, again, Sheamus, I don't think Sheamus has ever been this hot, even when he was heavyweight champion, even when he left and came back. I don't think he's ever been this white hot. I'll use that term. He's just unbelievably popular with the fans. And I was just like, I guess the Brawling Brutes are no longer heels. Does it make sense? No, I would have kept them heels. Heels could fight heels. There's no rules against that. But Sheamus is very hot, very popular. When they came out, the crowd went ballistic. And I was just like, this is where they're headed with this faction, and they could easily drag this out a long time and get one-on-one matches.
And they better. They better drag this out a little. Maybe they can, give the Brawling Brutes a win back at some point. But, Mike, the thing now is Gunther's job was to undersell, look like he dominated everybody, beat the hell out of people, so fans will say, I can't wait to see him get beat. But there always comes a time in the heel's career when a face gets so popular that you say, I have to sell that face. And the way I have to sell that face, apparently for Gunther, is for them to say, Gunther's not that anxious to get back in the ring with Sheamus, which they sort of hinted at Friday night. But then when he did, he has to sell a little heavier, in my opinion, Mike.
I think so, too. And think about this. If Sheamus is getting this popular, we could be looking at something much, much bigger than just an intercontinental thing with Sheamus, because if he's this popular, you could very well put him at some point against Roman Reigns before you turn Roman Reigns, that is.
I would think you could do that. Again, I know there's going to be people who say, oh, no, if he oversells to Sheamus, then he's going to look weaker. I don't think so. Yes, that would have been the truth if it was the old Sheamus that wasn't popular at all and people were like, oh, Sheamus. It would be like overselling to The Miz, Oh, The Miz. But if you're going to make – if all of a sudden The Miz catches lightning in a bottle and everybody's like, The Miz, and then you're like, I'm not going to oversell to him. No. Your job then is to say, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So that fans really get to root for them and say, see, he is beating them. I knew he could do it. And Gunther doesn't want anything to do with him. You got to sell Sheamus's toughness now. If you're a real great professional wrestler, Gunther has to say, I got to change a little bit now. I got to not oversell, but sell more and make it look like he can get the best of me, even in some of these real physical contests, because he's the face. And that I'm reluctant because I know he can do it. And if I win now, I win because I'm tough enough to withstand a lot of what he does, but then I'll have somebody cheat for me. Or I'll cheat. and get the victory, because I'm afraid that he could pull it out on me. That's what you need to do. Now, if it was just, oh, Sheamus isn't popular, you need to run through him to show how tough you are, I think that's initially, Mike, what they did. I think what they initially said was, you guys go have a war, and the idea is going to be, well, Sheamus is one of the toughest guys and one of the most physical guys, and he even couldn't withstand Gunther, so who will stop Gunther? I think that was the original plan, but I don't think they thought that Sheamus was going to get the roar that he got, and now you may have to call an audible.
Yeah, I think you may have to call an audible. And let's just see if Triple H is going to be willing to call an audible. Because, look, Gunther, the Imperium, and the other two Brawling Brutes are Triple H guys. But Sheamus is a contemporary of Triple H. When Sheamus was a rookie, Triple H was basically still in the prime of his career, right? If not, maybe coming down, maybe not, I don't know, but was basically in the prime. They wrestled each other, in other words, did Triple H and Sheamus. So will Triple H be willing to call this audible?
Damn good question. Damn good question. I don't know. I part of me still thinks they want to use Gunther for a bigger, more important opponent. But I don't think they counted on this. I don't think they counted on it. It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember, they said, we're going to make him the meanest redneck, hates the fans and didn't give a damn, give the middle finger to everybody. And I'm just a redneck, tough, think I'm better than everybody else type guy. And boy, the fans will hate him. And we'll set him up for a big baby face. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, I don't know, the crowd went nuts. And they had to call an audible and say, well, if this is going to continue. And it's the same way with The Undertaker. They figured, well, he's going to be the symbol of death. And everyone will fear him. And then we'll have the ultimate baby face who conquers him. And everybody was cheering him. Well, Sheamus has been around forever. And he's on probably his last run. And to be honest, it would be nice if he culminated his last run with a pretty good victory. And I don't know of anybody else you're setting Gunther up for. Who you want to set Gunther up for? If you're going to set him up for Roman Reigns, I got news. Not only has Roman Reigns beaten him, but you've turned Roman Reigns face then. And I don't think you want that right now. So who are you setting him up for? I don't think you have anybody. Unless could it be Drew McIntyre? I don't know. I don't know who you're setting them up for, but I don't think there's anybody better than Sheamus right now, because that crowd reaction, Todd, was – look, I knew he was going to get that reaction in the UK, but I was not expecting that Friday night.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Sheamus and everything. Well, like you said, that Clash at the Castle pay-per-view, throughout the whole match, everybody was cheering for Sheamus over Gunther. Over Gunther.
Yeah, and, well, we knew he was going to cheer for him over Gunther. But Mike, or let me go to Tom. Tom, I didn't expect that kind of a pop. I mean, Sheamus has been around here a while, technically a heel. And I didn't expect that.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect it either. But you know what? I mean, he might be in his – if he is in his last run, the way to go out for Sheamus, honestly, he makes a better heel. But to make him a face, to go out like that to go out on top, I think that's a – I think it's a good thing. As far as Gunther is concerned, I don't know who you're setting up Gunther for, and Gunther can either be being set up for Roman Reigns for the bloodline, which, okay, fine, if you want to turn them into faces, that's not, at this point, it's not a good idea. And who else is there at this point? Gunther's not, he's too green to be heavyweight champion. I don't think that's going to be I don't think he's green.
He's just, I think he's too. I don't think heavyweight champion is right for Gunther. He's not the guy. He's not that, you know, you want somebody who's going to be a little different than that. But, Mike, here was something interesting, too, regarding the Bloodline Friday night, and that is, thought this was going to spell the doom and the death of Sami Zayn in the Bloodline. But I'm starting to see something different now. I'm starting to see, like, Jey Uso is the only one who doesn't like Sami Zayn. Even Solo Sikoa was like, well, if I need any help, I'm going to ask for you. I'm going to call you. And I'm saying to myself, Jey is starting to look like the odd guy out now.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And that also kind of think about this. We know Naomi is coming back, right? And if Jay's the odd guy out and Jimmy's still there, well, here we go again with my suggestion about Naomi and the Bloodline, right? You know, but we'll see. But yeah, we'll see. Now that's still what happened on Friday night. Still doesn't put on the back burner the fact that there's something going to happen that's going to get Sami Zayn out of that group. Something's going to happen eventually.
See, you would logically think that. Logically, I'm saying to myself, Sami Zayn at some point is going to form a tag team with Kevin Owens, and they're going to take on the Usos. That would seem obvious. But they're, at least the WWE is trying to throw some shade. Because now I'm seeing, okay, well, when the minute Solo comes in, he's going to be against Sami Zayn too, and he's going to be like, we don't need you. They got me now. I'm actually blood. You ain't nothing. I thought that's the way that was going to work. And instead, he's the most receptive one. He's the one saying, no, man, you're like blood, but if I need any help, I'm going to call you. And it's Jey who's saying I don't like it. And I'm saying, what the hell's going on here? So even if they are teasing that, Mike, and it's still going to be Sami Zayn gets thrown out, they're doing a good job because they're making it look like that's not at all what's going to happen.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. They're doing. I don't want to say rope-a-dope, but they're doing. You know, they're subverting our expectations right now, and that's what we expect from wrestling. We want our expectations to be subverted. We want to suspend our disbelief. You know, the disbelief here is, okay, this guy thinks he's a part of the Bloodline. He thinks he's a part of the family when actually you can see that he's not. But he thinks he is, right? That's Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I mean, it has to go that way because what are they going to do, kick Jey out for Sami Zayn? That doesn't sound logical. But they're doing a really good job of muddying the waters where you're saying, I'm not sure which way this is going to go just yet. So what is WWE going to be doing in the future? Well, WWE is starting to become the cool company again. They're starting to become the company that people say, oh, I like the way they're doing things, and I like their workers, and I like their matches, and AEW is the company of, oh, God, they can't get their shit together, and they're fighting in the dressing room, and everybody's unhappy and asking for their release, and everybody hates everybody, and everybody's an asshole. So we've already said what AEW has to do to fix it. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know. What's the WWE got to do to continue this? They have got to keep their eye on the ball, listen to the fans, most of all, listen to the fans, not on the internet, in the arenas. On the internet, you can't please people. But in the arenas, those cheers, those whatevers, those are real. You can sense it. And that's what you have to go by, reactions. I would say the WWE is a signing or two away from blowing the doors off. From blowing the doors off. If they were to somehow be able to get Rusev back and Bray Wyatt back, I think they've blown the doors off the building at that point, Tom.
Yeah, for sure. Rusev would be a big addition to the WWE because you can do so many things with Rusev. The sky's the limit. As far as getting Bray Wyatt back, Triple H has been quoted saying he was a victim of his own creative. I disagree. I disagree with that. I think that the Fiend character and even the sweater vest Bray Wyatt was absolutely brilliant. The fact that they let him go for financial issues is a crock of BS. You know it. I know it. Everybody on this panel knows it.
But, Todd, listen, the bottom line is you can't say, oh, Bray Wyatt was hard to work with for creative issues when he dropped matches to Goldberg, he dropped matches to Seth Rollins. CM Punk, he wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was not creative-wise. I think it was more like money-wise when Bray Wyatt got released probably last time.
Well, that's what they're saying, but I think he did clash with Vince, because I think what happened basically was probably he said, look, I've got this really good character, and I don't mind losing when it's to the right guy. If you're building me up as this almost invincible monster to feed me to a certain face, but you can't have Bill Goldberg come out of retirement and destroy me, and you can't have me lose my very first feud to Seth Rollins. Even Seth Rollins said that's a mistake. Then I understand why he's saying, well, you're killing any creative I've had. You've already destroyed Bray Wyatt. Now you're trying to destroy the Fiend. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of my creations being destroyed. I get that. But I think if they hired him back, Mike, and maybe could convince Miro and Lana to come back as Rusev and Lana and start doing exactly what we said they should have done from day one, and that is to make them the new Macho Man and Elizabeth, I think they could blow the doors off this.
They could very well blow the doors off of it. And here's the thing. I mean, we speculated that Miro wanted Lana in AEW, and the question is why hasn't Lana signed with AEW? Well, maybe she's another one that could see the writing on the wall. You know, that this company, this AEW, yeah, my husband's there, but he's unhappy and things are going on, and Miro's probably telling her that things are going on backstage and all that stuff. And yeah, I want you here, but things are going on backstage, and maybe you shouldn't sign. You know, maybe that's why she's not there yet. You know, she's not in AEW yet because she knows, she's been knowing things for a while about AEW through her husband, right?
You would think that Miro would have enough sway that Tony Khan would say, I'll sign Lana. So you're right about that. That's very weird that he hasn't. Very weird. Because how much money could it be? Nothing. A drop in the bucket. And it keeps Miro happy. So something's up with that. I agree with that. WWE has to do a couple of more signings. They've got to listen to the fans more. And I think if they're smart, they've got to – see, there's always been a problem with guys like Braun Strowman. And the problem with a guy like Braun Strowman is he's entertaining, but only when he's used occasionally. Remember when Braun Strowman used to just, like, do stuff backstage or come out and just rip people a new asshole and throw them around the ring? But he didn't wrestle that much. It was kind of like on a pay-per-view he's going to wrestle. But normally on Raws or SmackDown, wherever he was just causing pandemonium. I think you need to keep him that way. Don't have him on every week. Make him like a special attraction where it's like, okay, wow, he's finally going to wrestle. Because otherwise he's going to lose eventually. And when he loses, the mystique is over. And you lose a lot of your momentum if you're a guy like Braun Strowman. So I think you got to use him sparingly. I think you've got to maybe bring back a couple of more entertainment-type guys. That would be Miro, and that would be Bray Wyatt. If you can get those two guys and Lana, I think you've gone a long way to making the fans think, wow, this is going to be interesting. You've got so many potential matchups now that look interesting. You're probably going to get Randy Orton back soon. You're going to get Cody Rhodes back soon. So all those things are going to be, you know, fuel to the fire. I see a good future for WWE only if Triple H clearly understands business before personal grudge, and we need entertainment mixed with the good, solid indie-style wrestling that NXT brought. We can't have one or the other. We need both. Now, I think he does, because I'm looking at Tommaso Ciampa, and Ciampa's character in NXT was like this psychotic sort of, you know, there was no, he hated everybody, you know, it's solely about him, he was, you know, this, whatever. He's not like that in WWE. He's definitely got into the role of being the Miz's friend and, you know, confidant, and he's much lighter when he talks now, and he's doing a better job. I think he's starting to get Tom, that, you know, some of this has to be entertainment-based.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. And, I mean, I'm really entertained. Some people might not like it, but I'm truly entertained by this Miz thing with, oh, geez. Refresh my memory. What the heck is that guy's name that he's feuding with?
Who's this?
The Miz.
Repeat
the
what
Miz
you said.
And
oh,
yeah,
Morrison.
Yeah, not Morrison. No, the
Oh, Dallas. The oh, you mean Damien Sandow?
Yes. He's
yep.
He's
but...
that guy. He's turning into that guy, which is really entertaining. I'm digging the. I'm digging. It's headed that way. It's headed that way, and to head that way, it kind of brings back how entertaining Damian Sandow was, even as the Miz's stunt double, which is hysterical. But Tommaso Ciampa is really starting to come into his own, and it's starting to be, and it's really entertaining, and it's really fun. It's fun to watch.
It kind of is, because I didn't think he had that in him, Mike, to be a little lighter and not so – I think he realized at my size and whatever, I can't be this hard-ass, psychopathic type guy. I got to be a little different, and I think he's starting to come into his own with this.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. Here's something else to think about with this whole AEW thing. Remember when Charlotte was – unhappy and all that stuff and talking about this, that, and the other and wanting to leave the WWE and go join her, well, it was her then fiance, now her husband, over there in AEW. Well, that's kind of been tamped down a little bit, and maybe, just maybe, El Idolo is talking with his wife and saying, look, you know, maybe need to tap that down because things aren't very good around here right now. So, you know, and maybe that's what's happening. And look, I think this. I think if AEW does fold, people like Britt Baker and people like Jade Cargill will definitely go to the WWE, you know, because, I mean – those people Triple H could do something with, you know. Those are some people that Triple H could do something with, you know, and that's the thing. And if you look at it, there are a number of people that could go to the WWE. And one other thing with this, oh, man, Hit Profits or Street Row, huh? Huh, Marcus? Hit Profits or Street Row?
Exactly. I don't know. Hit Profits, maybe. Another thing they did good, too, was Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, right, where she kind of gave Shayna Baszler the old pep talk and said, you need to get back to start breaking bones and stuff like this. This is very unusual because Baszler's a heel, and Ronda's kind of playing the face, whether she knows it or not. Also, I thought it was a good thing that they let the tag team champions finally get a victory, even if it is. At the expense of, you know, a team that really should have a big future in the WWE, they're your tag team champions. You got to make them legit at some point. So you helped to make them legit this week, so that was good. I thought this was a pretty good SmackDown. If anything, my problem was with that six-man match, even though I thought it was great. Thought, wow, you're going to get a lot of matches out of this. I do think you should have had a better finish. Or a finish that was a little different, where Gunther stands tall over a lesser member of the Brawling Brutes, and it still remains to be determined whether Eichner and the other guy can get it done. This way it kind of, you know, revealed it. I'm not sure I cared for that. I still give this a B+. And I think the WWE has a very bright future. I think the AEW is now really on the ropes. And I think AEW has to write this, and they can do it. But Tony Khan has to get his head out of his ass. And everybody there's got to get their egos in check. And everybody's got to realize, you know what? We're no big shakes. We're not even half of what the WWE is at this point. And we got to realize it, because we can lose it just like that. Just like we were gaining momentum, we can lose momentum. And I see that happening. And WWE's gaining momentum. Remember when Triple H said, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Well, he was right, Tom. It is indeed a marathon. And now the WWE seems to be the ones that are winning.
It really is. And you're 100% correct about that. And I'll tell you another thing. You know, WWE needs to do the exact opposite of what AEW has done in the past. And that is not, and what they've done in the past, really, is not acknowledge the quasi-competition. I don't even believe AEW is competition for WWE, because they're not even coming close. But to acknowledge them on TV, not the right thing to do. Concentrate on your own product. Concentrate on what's going on in WWE and not AEW. AEW needs to do the same thing. I give this show, the SmackDown, a B+ as well. The only thing I had a problem with, a major problem with, is that the production team, whoever that was, decided that when Sheamus got the hot tag, they go to commercial break, which is 100% what fans wanted to see, is Sheamus getting the hot tag. The TV fans anyway, the home fans anyway, wanted to see Sheamus get the hot tag and wanted to see what was going on. The fact that he went to commercial break and you put it up as a little square, I hated it. And
it was crazy.
That's what really took away the points.
You're right. That was crazy. Mike, what's your overall thoughts?
I got to give it a B+ as well. And I agree with you about Sheamus. And, you know, I just got to feel that, one, if you want Hit Row to be really, really good, you're going to have to get B-Fab in the ring at some point. And that's all up to Triple H. But you're going to have to get her into the ring, because she's a good enough athlete and she's a good enough performer, I think, that you can get her in the ring and put her against somebody. And she's entertaining. She's another one of these entertaining people, you know.
She'll be in the ring, and I guess it'll probably be against Maxine Dubois. What's your thoughts, Todd? What's your rating?
I got to go to the same grade as you. Also, I had the same problem with when Sheamus got tagged in with that hot tag. They cut to a commercial. That was my.
Yeah, that is unforgivable. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Boy, hour for 10 lousy dollars. How long is this supposed to continue? All night? And tomorrow? Do you wanna sit up in bed and watch TV and relax if you're not feeling good, Nona?
Stop it.
Do you want to go sit up in your bed where you're comfortable and watch some TV and have your dinner in there? Do you think you'd be more comfortable? Do you want to move to this chair? I'll put it in. You take the thing on, I'll put it in. Impossible to be in pain and be comfortable.
I'm going to put you in the chair, Nona. Remember what I told you the other night? You can heal my both sides of your butt. Because you're sitting in the same exact spot all the time. I don't care whether they hurt or not. That's what they're from. They're bony as can be, and it's called a pressure limit. You put so much pressure on that bone from not moving around and getting blood circulation, it's actually breaking the skin down and causing wounds. It's going to hurt because you've not moved and you've numbed the nerve.
If you want to put that right up, then what can I do? That's what I do.
Do you want your table here for a drink or your tissues?
Oh, my God. You're wearing your breakfast club shirt. I have never seen you wear it. I thought that was a bust. I'm like, you like it.
put your table there.
Right on.
Okay, you're right down. Over here.